Those prayers in Ephesians that we pray quite often, those are for believers. Did you know that? There's people sitting around praying them for lost loved ones. That's not for lost ones. That's for born again Christians. We'll run through the. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians. It's important, you know. I just kind of go with them. I don't read them often in here anymore. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. And this is you got to understand this. This is a Holy Spirit inspired prayer that the Holy Spirit gave to Paul to pray for the church. Not just the Ephesians. This is for us. So we can take this and we can pray it directly for our loved ones. You know, maybe we have someone running around out there on the loose that needs to turn around. But look at this in verse 15. It says, "Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you." So here he is. He's making mention of you in my prayers. So he was praying for other believers. Paul was praying for other believers. And this is what he prayed. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." So let's stop there. If you've got somebody running around on the loose, wouldn't you want them to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ? So this is something that we can ask God for them. You know, sometimes we like to pray from the hip and we like to pray our desires onto somebody, you know, pray what we would have them to be, how we would have things work out for them. Why not just follow the directions? This is what God wrote in the Bible through the Holy Spirit, through Paul. He gave it to us. Well, don't you think that if somebody had the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, things would work out a little bit better for them? I would say so. You know, if you're walking in the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you're not going to be doing the wrong things that cause you to have destruction. Amen? And if you receive that spirit of wisdom and revelation, it's going to cause great joy to happen in your heart. And then you're going to be living in the kingdom of God, which is love, joy, peace, and the Holy Ghost. Once you find out about that, it's really cool. See, this is what happens. People get born again, and their spirit gets born again. But you have to do something with your brain, and you have to do something with your body, which it's going to entail you opening up the Bible and finding out how you operate. You know, this is your basic instructions before leaving earth. That's the Bible. This is the owner's manual for a people. This is how we operate. And here's the thing, people will, Christians will do it all the time. Christians are notorious for doing it. They have this owner's manual set at home. And something will happen to them. The first thing they'll do is run to Aunt Melba and say, "Aunt Melba, I got this thing on my leg. I don't know what it is." Aunt Melba will say, "Man, I remember my sister got that and her leg fell off." So they'll run to the doctor. The doctor will say, "Ooh, I remember out in Melba, this one's worse than at Melba. He got 3 days. And then they'll run to church. If they make it that far. You get it just backwards. We're supposed to run to God first. Ask Him what to do about this thing. He'll show us in His Word. And then once He shows us, do that. Amen? Now, sometimes people do have to go to doctors. I don't begrudge people for going to doctors. I just think you should go to your Creator first. And if you have a Ford pickup and something happens to its engine, are you going to run to the Chevy dealer? People do it all the time. They have something wrong with them, and they run to the world before they run to their Creator, run to their Maker. But look at this. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. It's a free gift. How are we going to get that? By opening up this thing and reading it. I can't stress the importance of reading His Word for yourself. The next verse says that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The eyes of our understanding. What are we talking about there? I know a lot of you have experienced this. You've been sitting in church somewhere or been in a meeting somewhere or been listening to a tape somewhere. And all of a sudden you'll just say, oh, that's what that is. I got it. You might wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, oh, I understand. You might get that old feeling over a plate of Mexican food. Sitting there starving down enchiladas and say, oh, I mean, that personally happened to me one time. I was eating, and all of a sudden, I thought, oh, that's, you can't explain when the Spirit's going to hit you and bring a revelation to you, but the eyes of your understanding get enlightened. That's what that means. All of a sudden, you understand something that you didn't quite understand before. And here's the secret. You be reading in the Bible, and you run across something, and you will. I do all the time. I'll run into something that I don't quite understand. And I'll say, okay, I know this is the truth that's in the Word. It's right there. I don't understand this, Holy Spirit. Help me to see this. And then stop fighting. Meditate on it for a while. And then go on with life. Amen? But don't become hard-hearted. And this is how you become hard-hearted. You find something in the Bible, you see it there, and you say, well, I've never seen that happen before. Mama doesn't believe that that's for today. Our pastor doesn't believe that's for today. But you sit there and you've seen it in the Bible. Ask Him to bring a revelation to you. Don't become hard-hearted. Don't deny it. Don't say, no, that's not for today. Be open and willing to receive from Him. I don't know how to walk on water, but I've seen where Peter did and Jesus did. I'm waiting for the day He says, skip on out there. I think that would be pretty cool. I've never been translated before in the Spirit. But I think that would be cool. I seen it in the Bible. The evangelist was talking to the Enoch, or talking to the Enoch one day. He baptized him and stood up, and he was, boom, he was found 30 miles away. Boom. That would be a cool way to travel. You don't even have to have a driver's license. You don't have to have a vehicle inspection. You just got to That would be cool. But we're looking for the eyes of our understanding. Look over to Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. We're looking for the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened. Yeah, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. And one verse there I want to look at. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. So he's got that tied to knowledge. Didn't Jesus say to take my yoke upon you and learn of me? And Peter said that these blessings are going to come to us through the knowledge of him. See, God puts a lot of weight on the knowledge of the Bible. And actually, it's the revelation that we get out of that knowledge. See, the Jews, they would memorize the first five books of the Bible. They'd have those memorized. They could just go through them, tell them to you. But look what Jesus said when he asked Peter. He said, Peter, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. You didn't get this from man. You got this from God. And upon this rock, I will build my church. He wasn't talking about building a church on Peter. He wasn't talking about doing that. He was talking about building his church on the rock of revelation, so that the more people got revelation of him and what he did for them, the further forward he could bring them. You know, you can look through all the different ages in church history, and you go all the way back to the Dark Ages, and the only people that had a Bible were the Catholics. They saved the Bible for us. Well, one day, somebody come up there and asked Luther. Luther was a priest. Somebody came and asked Luther, said, did you ever read the New Testament? He said, no, I never seen one. So he found out where one was. So he went there and he read it. And he found out that we needed to be born again, that justification was by faith. So righteousness was by faith and justification was by the shed blood of Jesus. So he buddied up with the Black Knight. So the Black Knight protected Luther while he was telling the Pope that we must be born again. Well, they kicked him. You know, they couldn't kick him out of the Catholic Church because he had the protection of the Black Knight. But he brought the church forward. That was a revelation. That was on that rock of revelation. And then later on, somebody found out, hey, being born again, you know, that's great, but you need to be water baptized. So a bunch of them said, we need to be water baptized. They said, yeah. Well, some of them went and went forward, and they got water baptized. Later on, somebody said, we need to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So they said, okay. Some of them went forward. What was happening? You know, in the Bible, it says that Jesus is going to bring us all together in the unity of the faith. And that's happening every day. You see different people from different denominations going forward. You see whole churches in some of these denominations going forward. You know, some of these churches that would never, ever entertain the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, my buddy, he's a hard-line Church of Christ. And he come in stiff as a board one day. But the pastor got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he was taking it all in. He was going as far as he could go. He had a live band up on the stand. And everybody there raising their hands, shouting hallelujah. You'd think that you was in a charismatic church. These guys were shouting hallelujah. They were having a rocking good time. What happened? Holy Spirit brought them forth. Brought them forth in the unity of the Spirit. And he's going to keep bringing the church forward. We need to make sure that we go forward with the Spirit. You know, you don't just sit, you don't just go on lockdown and say, well, I'm in the Word of Faith movement. By golly, I've been to Kenneth Copeland's conferences. I've been to Kenneth Hagin's conferences. I've been to here and I've been to there. I got it under control. No, you don't. No, you don't. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. And he has a lot of things to teach us. We don't have it under control. We got a lot to learn. Amen? We can still go forward. We're going to keep going forward. It's an exciting time. There is coming a day when you're going to see teenagers out on the streets. And in fact, they're already out there. Teenagers out on the streets witnessing to people. They're not all Antifa thugs. There's teenagers out there on the streets witnessing to people. Some of them are doing miracles in the name of Jesus. People are getting healed in the name of Jesus. They're getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And they're out there doing what Jesus told everybody to do. They said to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, they couldn't get to Africa, so they just hit the streets of their hometown. It's happening now. It's a fun and exciting time to be alive, and you were created for such a time as this. You know, you weren't born 100 years too late. God created you in a time frame that he planned for you to shine in, for his glory to be seen on you. When you see what his inheritance is in the saints, and you accept that, and you start trying to walk in that, it gets real fun. It gets real exciting. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Stop right there. Sometimes people run around and they have kind of an inferiority complex. And they think, man, I don't quite qualify for some of this. He laying on hands and getting, you know, praying for people and watching them get healed and the miracle stuff and casting out devils. But you look at this right here. This is your verse right here. It says right here that you would know the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead. What does that mean? That means the very same miracle working God, a miracle-working Holy Spirit that raised Jesus back to life is the very same Holy Spirit that rests upon you when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the very same Holy Spirit that hovered over the earth when God started forming the land and started calling things forth. That's the very same Holy Spirit that came inside of you and recreated your heart and made your spirit a living thing by the Word of God when you said, Jesus be my Lord. That's the very same Holy Spirit that fell upon Peter and John and all the rest of them in that upper room when the tongues of fire landed upon them. That is the very same Holy Spirit that baptized them and endued them to step out and go into all the world and do all those mighty miracles. The very same Holy Spirit. Why can I say that? Because there's only one. There's only one. This should take care of some confusion. Because I remember people talking about, I want a double portion of Elisha's anointing. You know, I want I want the kind of anointing Benny Hinn has. You know, I want to give in to Kenneth Copeland's ministry so that I can share in his anointing. I want to do this so I can share in this guy's anointing. You know, I want to be anointed like that guy. Stop! Why do you want a secondhand anointing? And why would you want Elisha's anointing? That's Old Testament stuff, man. You got the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus back to life. That's the anointing. So when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you become a little anointed one. That's what Christ means, the anointed one. The anointed one. Now you are a little anointed one. That's what Christian means. Little anointed one. You're a little anointed one. What's that mean? It means when the devil looks at you, as far as he knows, he's looking at Jesus. Well, why would he look at you? Why would he see you any different than God does? God looks at you through the blood of Jesus, and he sees the work of Jesus on that cross. How do you think the devil is going to see you? He's going to see you as Jesus. You're a little anointed one. You've been covered over with that anointing. Then why does the devil give me such a hard time? Here's the thing. When Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land, he sent 12 spies in there. Two of them come back with a good report. They said, "This is a land flowing with milk and honey. We are more than able to conquer this land. We take care of those giants. We got this." 10 of them come back and said, "Yeah, there's some big grapes in there. But man, those giants. Those giants. We've seen ourselves as grasshoppers in their eyes." What was going on? Two of the spies were seeing themselves the way God seen them. 10 of the spies were seeing themselves by the way they felt, or by what maybe the world told them, or what the devil told them, and they believed it. They said, "Man, we can't do this. We're like grasshoppers in their sight, in their eyes." So they didn't go in. It happens to people all the time. You know, a challenge is just a miracle waiting for a place to happen. You don't have to know all the answers. All you have to do is just be willing to step out. You know? How are you going to do this? "Well, I don't know right now, but we'll figure it out. Well, we're going to jump out of the boat. We're going to go. Something will happen." Amen. Down here, verse 21. When you got born again, you got placed into a different position. Positionally speaking, you got brought out of the briar patch, out of the dung heap, and put into a high place. And this is the place that you got brought to. It says you've been brought far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So when you got born again, you got baptized into the body of Christ and immediately seated at the right hand of God. Because you are the body of Christ and you're seated at the right hand of God. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, all these names. Well, what does that mean? That means all your troubles, your challenges, your sicknesses, your cancers, all that stuff that the devil throws at you, you've been placed far above all that. Now, when you understand that, you're not going to be fighting for victory anymore. You're going to be fighting from victory now because you already have the victory in Christ. You're just going to be enforcing it. Amen? Because the Bible tells us that you've been made kings and priests. As kings, you decree something. As priests, you offer up praises to God. Too many people have a servant mentality and are sitting around begging God to help them, begging God to show them the way, begging God to bless them, begging God to heal them. Well, they need to stop and look at the cross and realize that God has already furnished all of that. He's already freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. So now, when you look at yourself in your elevated position, you're not being prideful. You're actually operating in true Bible humility. The way to walk in pride is to say, no, I got this handled. I'll figure it out. The way to operate in true Bible humility is to say, I've been placed in this position by the blood of Jesus. And God has given me authority to use His name to come against my enemies. And then blast the enemy. Amen? And we always run into something that we just can't quite get figured out. Lean on that spirit of wisdom. See, one thing about Jesus, He has been made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. You know, we can pull on His wisdom. One way to do that is to pray in tongues. You can pull on His wisdom. You know, there's people running around all the time that have all of a sudden just figured out something that they didn't know before. Tongue talkers. Some of the most amazing things that have been invented in this world have been invented by tongue talkers. Yeah. And I'll just tell you, it just happened. I couldn't figure it out, but it happened. I met a guy one time that made this thing. That's all I could call it, was a thing. It was a square box on wheels, and it had pipes going all the way around this thing, all the way around this thing, all the way around this thing, all the way around this thing. But he could back this thing up to a pit where they drilled a well, an oil well, and he could suck pit water up out of the pit and run it through this thing, and it got to the other end of this thing. You could take a glass and drink it. I said, how did you figure that out? He said, you know what? I was walking around out in the pasture praying one day, and God gave me this math formula. And he said, really? So, and he said, and he showed me how to make this thing. So he went and put it together. But if you can take pit water out of a drilling rig pit and suck it up out of there, I know what goes into that mud. There's caustic soda in there. And anytime you drill a well and you get down there several thousand feet, they have a thing that they call norms. Those are naturally occurring radioactive materials. That's in that pit. And all this other poison is in this pit, and you can pull that through this thing and drink it. That's God come up with that idea. Amen? And this guy said, man, I'm not that kind of a math guy. but it happened. God knows things. When we pull on the wisdom of God, when we pull on the wisdom of God, He can make great things happen in our life. We got to let it be His wisdom. The Bible does say, lean not unto your own wisdom, but lean on the wisdom of God. Lean on the understanding of God. Sometimes you just have to just stand still. Ask Him for a verse. Say, I don't know what to do about this situation. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Give me a verse to stand on. He'll give you a verse. Amen. And then stand on it. Amen. That's that prayer. Got another 30 minutes. We'll cover the next one. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that each time we take your word in our hearts, we learn more about you. And we get more and more light in us, more and more revelation of who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us. We thank you for this, Father, that your word is the life-giving seed that not only feeds us and keeps us alive, but it grows in our hearts and it causes fruit to be produced in our lives so that we can help somebody else in this kingdom. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. That's that verse. That's that prayer. We'll get the next prayer next Wednesday.